Slate's Mickey Kaus is back with us. He writes the Kaus Files weblog on Slate, a blog. A blog is a series of daily online commentaries, essays, rambling thoughts, with links to other relevant sites. Mickey, welcome back to Day to Day.
Thanks, Alex.
The blog is talking about these days, the blog, the universe of blog writers. One subject, Diebold. This is a voting machine. What are people saying?
Well, this has been bubbling on the web for months now. There's all this new voting technology because of the Florida debacle. And the left wing of blogdom out there on the web is very exercised about the machines put out by this company, Diebold, for two reasons. One, the machines are supposedly subject to hacking. In other words, it's not just a question of losing one hanging chad here. It's a question of somebody can go in Mission Impossible style and fiddle with the computer and completely throw the results of an entire election with thousands, millions of votes. The second thing is the head of Diebold is a contributor to George Bush's campaign. Put these two together, and you have the makings of a really good conspiracy theory, which finally made it into the mainstream this week in Newsweek with a very good article by Stephen Levy.
Okay. Story number two on the blog that you've brought in, self-financing bloggers. Now, as a reporter, I kind of like this idea. Explain what's happening.
Well, a couple of bloggers have solicited contributions from their readers, which you can do online through a company called PayPal. And Josh Marshall, who is a liberal blogger, a very good liberal blogger, said, I want to go to New Hampshire and report on the primary. Overnight, he got almost $5,000. He actually asked his readers to stop sending him money. He had enough money to charter a limousine.
I'll call him and explain the error in that thought process. This guy's an independent journalist. He doesn't work for anybody, but it's quite an idea that you would say to your readers, hey, I want to go do this. Send me money. And they do it.
Well, that's right. There's a priest from Michigan who did the same thing. He went down to counsel and blog about the Schiavo case, and he got money from his readers, and they sent him to Florida, and he's in Florida now.
The Schiavo case, I'll interject, is the case of Terry Schiavo, this woman who is in a persistent vegetative state down in Florida, and her husband is arguing that the doctors should pull the plug.
That's right.
This is what you're talking about. Are developments in the way journalists think about talking to readers, to listeners, to each other, to editors, to the world, it's another sign that blogs indeed are changing the whole business of communication and what we do.
I think that's right. Bloggers tend to get carried away with the revolutionary implications of what they do. There's this phenomenon called blogger triumphalism where we think, you know, the New York Times is going to go out of business tomorrow because blogs are taking over. Okay, but that's not going to happen. But it is slowly changing how people talk.
You wrote a big piece this week on the nature of editing. There had been a controversy over the summer, various questions about whether or not blogs should be edited. They customarily are not. Explain your thinking, because a number of blog writers in the last few months have gotten caught. They've made embarrassing mistakes in public, and people have said this is a sign that we do need the controls, the sensitivity of editors. You wrote a piece saying no.
Right. The triumphal blogging view is editors are useless. Let's get rid of them, and we'll have this ecstatic, free-willing debate. I don't buy that. I think editing, especially good editing, usually makes things better. But does it make things enough better to be worth the cost in time and self-censorship and loss of community that comes when you can post something rapidly on the web? I would say no. I think it's better to have 90% of a good piece right now than 100% of a good piece in 2 or 3 days, usually. I mean, sometimes you have to have the piece perfect, but usually 90% is good enough. Put it out there right now. Get reaction. You have a payoff in that if you put it out quickly, you can get instant feedback from your readers. And ideally, you could do it fast enough to actually influence events.
I thought that perhaps you might be rethinking a small, really quite small piece I saw from you a couple of days ago, criticizing the august institution of National Public Radio for being too liberal, to being too one-sided on the case of this Schiavo case in Florida that you've already mentioned. I thought perhaps you wanted to retract those statements, but I gather not.
NPR is the finest institution known to man. You're all incredibly patriotic Americans. And what else do you want me to say, Alex? That was not one of the ones I want to retract. I would like to retract the rough draft of my piece that I accidentally posted on the web last night that I hope nobody saw.
This is when you were blogging this piece on editors and what the value of editors.
Yes, I accidentally posted the like sloppy, completely junky, unedited first draft, and one of my readers wrote back and said, "I just saw your recent piece. Do you have an editor?" So it was deeply ironic on so many levels that I did that, you know.
Slate's Mickey Kaus. He does not have an editor. He's welcome here on Day to Day anyway. Thanks, Mickey.
Thanks, Alex.